In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters, we begin with this celebration, our Holy Week, the holiest week of the year, the week in which we commemorate this great moment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, giving his life for our salvation, rising from the dead so that we could have new life in him, something we should rejoice in. And I'm sure as you heard this reading, if you were attentive to the Holy Spirit, I'm sure this year maybe he said something new, something different to you. Because whenever you read the scriptures, if you're listening, there will always something new will pop out for you to meditate on and be strengthened by and to live by. And hopefully, whatever that is, you take it home, you meditate on it, and you ask the Lord how you can better live in response to him for what he's done for you. Something this year that stuck out a lot to me, really last night when we were reading the Passion for the first time in the 5 o'clock Mass, it just hit me, is this story about when Jesus tells all the apostles, now, your faith will be shaken. All of you will have your faith shaken. And then Peter, we know the story, Peter is so always impetuous, says, even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be. And Jesus says, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he vehemently replied, vehemently, even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you. We all remember that. It's like it's ingrained in our minds, this moment of Peter with Jesus. No? And then what happens later as well, perhaps. But then we skip over the next five words as if they weren't even there oftentimes. Because after it says that Peter vehemently said this, it says, and they all spoke similarly. All of them said, in other words, we will go with you to death. We will be faithful to you to the end. We are here to defend you. They had the same heart as Peter, and they were all willing, and I think sincerely, to put their faith in the Lord and to accompany him in thick and thin through whatever. Aren't we all here for the same reason? Because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he's the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the chosen one, the one sent by the Father to fulfill the prophecies, to save us from sin, to give us new life. Haven't we said, Lord, here I am, through our baptism and the sacraments and coming back to confession and ask, Lord, I believe in you and I will be faithful to you. All said the same and spoke similarly. Just like they, so have we. And then you turn the page, and they come to seize Jesus, and the phrase now says, and they all left him and fled. All of them. They took off in the moment of trial, in the moment of difficulty. Haven't we done the same when we've turned on Jesus, when we've turned our backs, when we've let sin get in the way of our faithfulness to him? Every one of us. We're so easy to judge others that we sometimes often forget to look upon our own self and say, I did the same. We can ask ourselves the questions, who crucified Jesus? Was it the Jews, the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the cohort that was there? Was it the Romans who carried out the order, who flogged him and spit on him and beat him and nailed him to the cross physically? Who crucified our Lord? I did. I crucified Jesus Christ. I crucified him with my sin because that's the reason he went to the cross, to save me from my sin. And even after having done so, 2,000 years later, there it is, the sin he died for. I crucified Jesus Christ. That's the answer to that question. Now you're all going to go home and tell your kids when they ask, Mom, who crucified Jesus? You're all going to say, Father Thomas did. Right? No, I hope that when I say I, you humbly and sincerely in your own hearts believe you. We should all understand that. I crucified our Lord. He is the just one who did not deserve the punishment and who took upon himself my sin in order to redeem me from my punishment, my death, and give me new life. This is what God has done for me. And what have we done? What have we done for him? Even if we've tried, we consecrate ourselves, we give ourselves, we do our best to live our faith, to come to church, to do everything. And nevertheless, there are times when we run and flee and sin because of our sin, turn our backs on him. It could be our pride. It could be our sensuality, our lust. It could be our anger, our judgmental spirit, so quick to criticize and judge others, constantly pointing fingers. Whatever it is, our gluttony, our laziness, sloth. There are times when we flee that profession, Lord, I will be with you to the end. They all said the same, and then they all did the same. And luckily, because of God's mercy, they all came back to, except for Judas, who in despair, if he would have come back and said to the Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, Jesus would have said, I forgive you, my son. But he went out and hung himself. The other thing that struck me was precisely Peter, after having said so, wants to make good on his word. So he follows Jesus, at least. He runs first, but then he comes back and follows him with John. He goes into the garden yard of the priest there. And he's out there in the courtyard, and they spot him. So he thinks he can do it by himself. But here comes the first temptation. Yeah, you're one of them. And he denies Christ. Jesus had already warned him, as he warns us, and yet he still goes in and falls. And then the cock crowed the first time. Another warning. Hey, I should have walked away. Uh-oh. Jesus said I was going to deny him, and I just did. I better not do it the other two times. But no. Even after we've been warned. Doesn't that happen to you and me at the same way? We see the sin before us, just like St. Paul said, and we choose it instead of choosing what we know is right. Because we're weak, and Jesus understands that. We're human, we're frail, we're creatures, we're not perfect. You're not perfect if you think you are. Okay? And we fall. And we try again. And the beautiful thing about Peter is after the third time, when the cock crows twice, then he falls into the realization of what he just did. And he doesn't run out and hang himself. He weeps bitterly, in sorrow, asking forgiveness of our Lord for his sin, recognizing what he's done, and comes back to our Lord in such a way that later Jesus will confirm him as the first pope and tell him to confirm his brothers in the faith and wipe away his sin and give him the strength to go forward and do his mission. Haven't we all done the same? I crucified Jesus. I did. And the sad thing is, even being right now in the state of grace, having confessed sins over and over throughout the years, sadly, because of my weak human nature, I'm probably going to crucify him again. I'm probably going to fall again. I'm probably going to sin again. When I say I, you say I, please. Because we will. We're weak. We're human. And the beauty of it is, he understands that. From the cross, he will say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a loving, merciful, giving God, whose will of the Father is not that anyone be condemned, but that they be saved, the scripture says. And so he sent his only Son, who is like us in all things but sin, to take upon himself my sin in order to take it to the cross, to receive the punishment that I deserve, in order to give me a share in his divine life, a victory over that sin, an opportunity, a chance to come back to him and live my life in accordance with His grace. This is what God has done for us. This is what we are entering into this Holy Week. And we have to ask our Lord, please help me to not be callous, to not be cold, to not be indifferent, to not allow the routine of having done this so many times in my life, of being used to the passion of Jesus. We can grow accustomed. Oh, I know that reading. How nice. Or sometimes we can think ourselves, already we're okay. Let's ask the Lord to help us to live this Holy Week in a holy way, to strive to respond to this gift of His love, His mercy, His gentleness, His kindness, His forgiveness, to respond to that by fulfilling the commandment He left us just before He did it. You go and do the same. Love one another as I have loved you. Be merciful, forgiving, generous, kind, humble, obedient. Lord, help me. You know what the vice is in my life that I need to work on. You know what it is. No, we're not here to judge each other on that. Everybody knows where they falter. Help me, Lord, to work on that, to grow in virtue, to respond to your love as you deserve me to respond, by dying to myself, uniting myself to you on the cross for the salvation of the world, and easing the pain of the nails I drove into your hands and feet, by striving not to sin again. But please be patient with me. And if I do sin again, give me the grace and the strength to get up and say I'm sorry, so that I can ease your suffering, share in it by giving of myself more generously for the good of my own soul and for the good of the souls of this world. Let's ask God to give us the grace to live this Holy Week with that mentality. Because they all said, I believe in you. We all said, I believe in you. And we have all fled at times. Lord, give me the grace, like Peter, to say I'm sorry and come back to you and proclaim your good news to this world that so needs it. And I don't proclaim it because I'm better. I proclaim it because I've received it and it needs to be shared so that all can receive it. Help me, Lord, to respond to your love as you deserve me to respond. Let's ask God to give us that grace in this Holy Week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.